Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Because we have a choice to rejoice. Don't choose miserable.
Amen.
Glory. God is good all the time, isn't He?
Yes.
We are entering a new season. It's a season in the arena. You know, we go through seasons. And I can tell you that since Friday night, God is, well, prior to that, but I'm telling you that new season started Friday. And in this new season that God is unfolding, there are requirements because He's asking more. But He wants to give more. So He asks more so He can release more. Because there's a spiritual law that says what you sow is what you reap. He's asking more from His body. He's trying to get to the arena to where His body and His mind are one. Because there are tremendous things getting ready to happen, and many will be moved towards God, and many will be moved away from Him. Would you turn to the book of Revelation? In chapter 12. Glory. Revelation chapter 12, in verse 7. Would you read it with me, please? And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who what? Deceives the whole world. Is he still deceiving the world? Yes. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him, the powers of darkness, by the what? Blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. There were three things that he said they overcome. I said by the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. That third arena is called third level of commitment. It's a third level, and that's where God wants us to get to. What happened in that level? They did not love their lives to death. They no longer cared about their lives. Does everybody understand this? This is how you overcome. We've got to stop fighting for the arena of our life and continue to fight for the life of Christ. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. So God is looking for a specific level of commitment. We call it the third level. Everyone say third level. No devil. They can't hang with you in that level. Oh, glory. Because the presence of God rips them apart. Love it. Ephesians 4:11. Is everybody there? Praise God. I'll be there in a minute. Let's speak it together. And it says that He Himself gave some to be what? Apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for what? The equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a what? Everyone say perfect man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The perfect man is to the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer what? Be children. In other words, we are mature. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine or emotion by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may what? Grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share. Every part does its share. And what does it cause? Causes growth of the body for the edifying itself in love. There's that place where God wants to. It's a third level where the fullness of Christ is expressed through us so that we grow up. Amen? Listen, He wants us to be able to partake of the heavenly things. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing and seated in heavenly places. The problem is we're not accessing those things. Even though we're there, they're right in front of us. But there's so many barriers between us because of worldliness, because of self, because of emotions, because of all of the foolish things that infiltrate and separate us from those things to reach. The word says that there's a table set before us in the presence of our enemies. He said when you get to that table, man, the anointing comes on you. So that means we must press on. We can't allow the things of the world to infiltrate and separate us. You know, things are going to, they're going to get harder. They're not going to get easier. That's why he's requiring a more commitment, a level of commitment. In this level of commitment, he's requiring endurance. We need endurance. Too many people quit too easy. Well, I just feel, that word feel, as soon as they feel something, they stop. They quit. They stop. And then the enemy infiltrates. It's like going on a mission somewhere and you stop halfway there. And then you get entangled. And he never fulfilled the mission. That's the enemy's ploy. He is out to cause us to not fulfill the mission or to be distracted to fulfill another mission that wasn't ordained by God Almighty. Amen? So there's training, isn't there? He's training us up. Oh, praise God. Go to 2 Corinthians 12. And verse 1. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. You know, there's an area where you want the fullness or you want partial. Does everybody get it? We must fight for the fullness, not for the partial. Jesus fought for the fullness, that we would receive the fullness. That's what his desire was, that we would be filled with his presence, that we would have the fullness of joy, that we would have the fullness. In 2 Corinthians 12, 1, it says this, it is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to what? Visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or whether out of the body I don't know. God knows such a one. It was caught up to the what? Third heaven, the third level. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. How he was caught up into what? Paradise. And heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet not of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. A what? A messenger of Satan to what? Buffet me, hinder me, prevent me, mislead me, interrupt. He was a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times. How many times? What was God trying to get him to? Third level. 3 times that it might depart from me. And what did the Lord say? My grace is sufficient for you. In other words, my plan for you is sufficient. Use what I've given you. For my strength is made what? Perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wow. See, when the power of Christ rests upon you, you overcome everything. Everything. The main purpose is to overcome, isn't it? Overcome. 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 We're to overcome anything the enemy tries to give us. We're to overcome every trap that he tries to lay. We're to overcome. Whether the enemy uses your best friend, your spouse, your children, your employer, we're to overcome. We cannot allow the things of the world to entangle us and prevent things. We are to overcome. We're supposed to be overcomers. The word says that we are more than conquerors. It's amazing how we can't even conquer our own desires, our own emotions, our own feelings. How can we be more than a conqueror when we can't even come against our own self and overcome it? Amen? We are more than conquerors, seated in heavenly places, blessed with every spiritual blessing. The problem is people still lose their identities. They still don't know who they are. And that's what the enemy steals all the time, doesn't he? Who we are. Listen, maybe we need to remove all the mirrors in the house so you don't have to look at yourself. People would be running down streets chasing cars trying to look at the rear view mirror or the side mirror. Anyways. The third heaven is the third level. We want the power of Christ to rest upon us. Amen? Because we're weak in the flesh, but we're strong in the spirit. We're to be strong in the power of his might, not our own. Why? So we overcome. Look at endure. Overcome what? Temptation. Overcome. Well, there's going to be a lot more stronger things than little emotional things that are going to come against us. We're going to see things, hear things that's going to try to entice you to hate, to be jealous, and to fear in all kinds of areas. And Matthew 16, third level, we're going up to the high places. Yeah. Third level, verse 13. I mean, not Matthew 6, Matthew 16. There's a whole new chapter in the Bible. It's called third level. Snap. I missed it the whole time. Third level 16. Praise God. I love it. Matthew 16, okay? And verse 13. Let's speak it. When Jesus came into Caesarea, in the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" But someone said, John the Baptist, some Elijah, others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Now he got personal. He said, "Who do you say I am?" In other words, there must be a level reached where there's no wondering, doubting, unbelieving, or drifting. You know who he is because you know who you are. If you don't know who you are, you don't know who he is. Let's go a little further. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." And where is the Father in heaven? He's in the what? Third heaven. So Peter got a third level revelation. "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this revelation, on the anointing, I'm going to build my church, which is called the Rock, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." In that third level, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. "And I will give you" what? "Keys." I love keys. "Keys to the kingdom of" what? "Heaven." Whoa. "And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven." Most people don't even do it. They don't take their authority. They're still calling out on the name of Jesus, asking for help. He keeps putting them in the place to learn, and they keep refusing to learn. "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, whatever demon you bind on earth will be bound in the unseen realm. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you choose to loose in the physical realm on the earth is going to be loosed in heaven." It's authority. It's dominion. It's know who you are. That's why those prayer booklets are very important. Every one of those prayers has binding and loosening in. And you don't need to loosen the Holy Spirit. He's never been bound. "Oh, we loose the Holy Spirit." No, you don't. You invite him. Anyway, everybody cool? Let's go a little further then. "Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. For that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be" what? "Killed" and be what? "Raised on the" third day. He was going to reach his third level. "Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke the one that made him, saying, 'Far be it with you, Daddy. Lord, this shall not happen to you. I'm not going to let them kill you.'" Was that an emotion? Yeah, big time. "And Jesus turned to Peter and said, 'Get behind me, Satan.'" Whoa. I bet your Peter felt like a little raisin after that. "You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of things of God, but the things of" what? "Men." Oh, man. If we could grab hold, every time we get involved in the things of men, it's an interruption. Jesus rebuked him. He knew he loved him. He knew what he meant, but it was still interfering. Why? Because the enemy was trying to use Peter to get the Jesus emotion, and he wasn't going to let it happen. He called him a devil. You devil, get behind me. You're not going to interfere with, I've got to fulfill a mission. Do you see that fight? That's powerful. He wasn't going to let nothing interfere with the mission. And we should reach that level where nothing interferes or interrupts the mission. We are all sent into this realm by God Almighty. And as I said before, you probably volunteered to come. Who will go for me? I will! As soon as we got here, we forgot everything. Then we get born again and there's a desire. It starts to come back. The whole thing is getting back to that place where we are like-minded, like-hearted, like-willed, so we can fulfill the mission and get the heck out of here. Because we don't love our lives to death. But I got three eyes and you're out. Put you right out of the outer court, right in the outer darkness. Oh, glory. Third level commitment brings personal relationship. And we don't let anything interrupt it. Nothing. If there's truly that commitment. See, it's not about what comes out of your mouth. It's about what comes out of your heart. Amen? Although the things that are out of our mouth usually express the heart, don't they? But there's a lot of lip worship, but not heart worship. In Luke chapter 2. Totally committed. Luke chapter 2. In verse 41, third level, no devil. Can't touch this. Doo-doo-doo. Is everybody there? In verse 41, Luke 2:41. Let's speak it. And Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went into Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days they had returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother lost him, did not know it. But supposing, number one rule, don't assume, right? But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after, how many days? 3 days, they found him in where? The temple. Sitting in the midst of teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were what? Astonished at his what? Understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were what? Amazed. And his mother's and said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us?" Oh, snap. Why did you do this to me? Did he do it to them? No, but you see how carnal lights think sometimes? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And what did he say to them? Come on, speak it with me. Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Third level. Always about the Father's business. It's always about kingdom business. Always. Does everybody get this? I was about my Father's business. But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. They didn't get it. They didn't understand. But he knew why. Because his personal relationship. Amen? Oh, what was he doing? Listen, he was willing to leave family, wasn't he? In fact, he left them at 12 years old. He didn't let them know, did he? Hey, I'm going to go hang out at the temple for a few days. Fulfill my, start my third level commitment. He didn't do any of that. Why? He knew because he was protected and connected. Oh, glory. He knew who he was already. The world called him a carpenter. Aren't you Joseph's son? That's all they knew him as. Hallelujah. In Mark 10. I was standing in line. I forgot. I was waiting for something. And I don't know if I was cashing out somewhere or something. And this guy looked at me, started talking to me. And he looks at me, he says, "What tribe are you from?" What, I have a feather in my head or what? I was looking at him, you know, what am I wearing? You know. He said, man, you look Indian. He said, I said, oh, what tribe are you from? I said, Judah. You know what kind of conversation that led to? Tribe of Judah? Yes, it's eternal. It's got nothing to do with this world. Slowly stepped away from me, you know. This guy's crazy. No, I'm eternal, you know. Hallelujah. Mark 10, verse 17. That's not, you know, not everybody comes up to you and asks you what tribe you're from. Let's read it. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Don't lie. Honor your father and your mother. Let me repeat that again. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Loved him and said, one thing you do lack. Go your way, sell all everything you have, and give to the poor. The dude probably passed out. And you will have treasure in heaven, and come. Now, he's trying to bring this person to a third level. He said, come, take up the cross, and follow. See, there really isn't a follow if you haven't hit third level yet. It's partial. Remember, we want the full. We want to reach the area of fullness, where it's not partial follow. It's a life of follow. Not once in a while. Not because things are good or things get bad. It's constant. Follow. Always. That's reaching a third level. It's not when God blesses you. It's not when the enemy attacks you. It's always, always follow. Amen? Glory. Jesus was requiring a third level commitment from this man, wasn't he? Let's go to Luke 13. Of course, what did he tell him? He says, man, you know, it's hard for a rich man to enter what? The kingdom. Amen. Luke 13 and verse 31. On that very day, some Pharisees came saying to him, get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. And Jesus replied to them, go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons, and I perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be what? Perfected. See, there's a level of perfection. Not where we're perfected of our own doings, but in him we are complete and perfected. Does everybody get that? We are complete and perfected. Nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. Again, we reach this place of perfection in him, where there's a fullness of Christ, where we're not moved, where it's full time, not part time, not partial, not whenever, followers of Christ. Third level. Is everybody good? John 14. Third level is a required commitment God is asking. In this required commitment of this third level, things change. Priorities change. Priorities change. Why? Because it's promoting a divine order that is totally pleasing to God. In verse 1, is everybody there? Let's speak it, please. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. And how can we say we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him, and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. It is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide in you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, and you live also. Oh, how powerful. Jesus is not only the way, the truth, and the life, but is a representation of the chambers of God, the tabernacle. Again, everything revolves around the tabernacle of God. Court, the holy place, and the most holy place. Those are the three chambers of the tabernacle. The outer court is the place of sacrifice. The holy place is a place of the beginning in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where priesthood is being fulfilled. And then the most holy place is a place of warrior, where you live for him, not for you. You don't care whether you die or not. But in it, there's three levels of commitment. The outer court is where the flesh is constantly crucified. We constantly make sure that flesh stays crucified. The holy place is where you are sold out. S-O-U-L-E-D. Because only in the most holy place can you go in spirit, not soul. Emotions and everything else stay out. Now you are spirit to spirit with him. And of course, the most holy place, spirit takes possession of you. Is everybody with me? I'll repeat that again. These are levels of commitment. This is what we're reaching. First level is constantly maintaining the flesh stay crucified. How does the flesh stay crucified? Be led by the Spirit. Amen. The second place is where the soul begins to get sold out. So your old man, the soulish part of us, is beginning to be turned over to the Holy Spirit. And the most holy place is we are actually possessed with him. Now we've reached a level where it's no longer we that live, but him that lives. Amen? Is everybody okay? 2 Corinthians 5. When you taste the third level, you don't want anything else. You don't want anything else. You want to constantly taste the third level. There's a presence there. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Let's speak it together, please. But it takes a third level of commitment. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet not we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ. Remember, we talked about three levels. Anyone is in Christ. There are people who are in Christ who are still first level. People will be in Christ and die and still never get to a second level because they allow too many interruptions. They're still entangled in the affairs of this world. They'll never reach the third level in the fullness of Christ. But that's the goal of every believer, is to reach the fullness of Christ. That doesn't mean they won't go home. They'll go home, but they'll never reach that level because it's not committed. There's too many entanglements in the affairs of this world. Is everybody okay? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We need to get everything passed away. Amen? Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and have given us the what? Ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are what? Ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be what? Reconciled reconciled. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He's committed to me and you as followers the reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation. Now, you got to remember that the world is always looking at us. They're always trying to negate us. They're trying to get us to become hypocrites. And I can tell you that when I first became a believer, I realized that there was many hypocrites from pastors on down. It amazed me. In fact, before I got saved, I saw many of them. I used to see people with their Bibles, and then they'd be out partying. I didn't know no different. I just realized, why would I get involved in that? Because there were so many hypocrites. In fact, when after my visitation from the Lord, I didn't even want to read the Bible because I didn't want anything to interfere with my relationship with him. Because I didn't want to fall in love with a book. I wanted to stay in love with the person. Until the Lord finally said to me, I want you to know my word. And as I began to indulge myself in the word, it was feeding my spirit because he was telling me, that's your food. I kept saying, why do I need to have your word? You can tell me whatever needs to be done. Because he wants, there are those who are not willing to go to the level. They still would rather be outer quarters. And the closest thing to outer quarters are their darkness. We want to get before God and know what he says is, enter in my faithful, good and faithful servant. What? With the fullness. So there are many hypocrites. Hello? Is everybody okay? Praise God. Let's go to 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse 1. Let's speak it together. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves. Arm yourselves. Arm yourselves. With what? The same mind. The same mind as what? Your neighbor? No. The mind of Christ. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles and pleasing man, when we walked in lewdness, lust, and drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these things, they think it's strange that you don't run with them anymore in the same flood of dispensation, speaking evil of you. Oh, you'll be persecuted. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel is preached also to those who are dead. How many know we were dead one time? That they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the what? The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be what? Serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for the love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without what? Grumbling and complaining. 2 Corinthians 4. It's a new season. It's a new day. Fresh anointing. It's coming our way. Get to the third level and begin to pray. Because Jesus is coming and he's here to stay. Glory. Verse 1, 2 Peter, or 2 Corinthians. Did I say 2 Corinthians? Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this what? Ministry of received mercy, we don't what? Lose heart. We don't give up. But we renounce the hidden things of shame, not walking in the craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should what? Shine on us. And verse 7. But we have this what? Treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not on us. We are what? Hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring what? About in the body of the dying in the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Welcome to the house of death. We are earthen treasures as a third level of commitment. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. No, I'm sorry, Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. Are you willing? Are you ready? In verse 1, let's speak it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, and to God, which is your reasonable service or responsibility. Now, he's going to actually tell you there are not only the three levels of commitment, but there are three levels of his will. Are you ready? Do not be what? Conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, or what? Perfect will of God. Because in that third level of commitment, the perfect will of God is unfolding. 1 Corinthians 4. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? And again, Jesus offers us all of these things. Everybody has a choice what level they want to stay at. His love for us is unconditional, whatever level you choose to stay at. Amen? 1 Corinthians 4, in verse 1. Let's speak it together. Let a man so what? Consider us as servants of Christ. In other words, servants to the anointing of God. And stewards of the mysteries of God. Well, again, if you're not a seeker, you're not going to get too many mysteries. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found what? Faithful. But with me is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am justified by this. But he who judges me is what? The Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God and not from man. John chapter 2. Is everybody there? John chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman. Said what? Woman. He didn't say, oh, mom. You got any grapes on hand? We better do some dancing. No. He said, woman, because in the third level, it's no longer mother, father, sister, brother. Does everybody get it? Husband, wife? Nah. None of that's there. None of that's there in that level. It's Papa's business. Does everybody understand this? He didn't say mom. He said, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. And his mother said to the servants, see, when he called her woman, she got it. She turned right away and said to the servants, whoa, whatever he asks you to do, do it. Because that ain't my son. That's my Lord. See, even she got it. The mother said to him, whatever he asks you to do, do it. Now, there were set there six water pots of stone according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 to 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill water pots with water. And they filled up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it out. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he did not know where it came from. But the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have gotten drunk, well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. Because this wine wasn't going to get them drunk. Does everybody understand that? It was a point of contact. It was different. This beginning of the signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and money changers doing business. When he had made a whip, third level, everybody get it? When he had made a whip, he drove them out of the temple. That third level says nothing is going to hang here. Nothing. I'll destroy anything and everything that has to do with bringing impurity to this temple. And Jesus drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And then he said to all those who sold doves, take these things away and do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Everyone say, this is the Father's house. My body is the Father's house. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house is what? Eating me up. Zeal for the house of God is always associated with the third level of commitment. Amen? 2 Corinthians something. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Third level, no devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 1. Let's speak it together. We know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be what? Clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be what? Well pleasing to him. Why? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or whether bad. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We want to be more clothed. Amen? If you don't want to be more clothed with God's presence, something wrong with you. Glory. Verse 7. Philippians 3:7. Would you speak it with me, please? But what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. See, you're going to start counting things as rubbish. Just don't matter. Why? Because you're gaining more of him. And to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may what? Know him and the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings, being what? Conformed to his death. That's that what we're talking about. And they overcame him by the what? Blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, did not love their lives to death. Third level. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I do what? I press on. I press on, I press on, I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Beautiful. Beautiful. 1 Peter 4. Third level always brings fresh vision and sight. Three things it brings: vision, sight, and discernment. You will see more, you will have more vision, and you will be able to discern more. It's a further distance. It's no longer a short. It's further. 1 Peter 4. Everybody there? Verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the what? Don't think it's strange concerning the what? Fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory in God rests upon you. Isn't that what we want? On their part, he's blaspheming, but on your part, he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, everyone suffers as a Christian, not a Baptist, Catholic, Protestant, Pentecost, as a Christian. Hello? What happens? If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him and doing good as to a what? Faithful creator. Third level. The choice is ours. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask for your help, Master. We ask for your help that we may have the thirst and hunger, the endurance, and the desire to go to the third level of commitment so that we may reach the fullness and the character of Christ, the anointing, that we won't be satisfied, Lord, until we reach that so we can fulfill the mission that you've sent us in this world to fulfill. Again, we ask for your mercies and your grace. I apply the blood of Jesus on all the seed that's been imparted here so that it may grow and bear fruit for your glory as we commit to you our lives as a living sacrifice in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.